Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Pellegrini Financial and IPC Investment Corporation fourth quarter conference call. Take a deep breath. I would now like to turn the meeting over to Mr. Perry Pellegrini. Please go ahead, Mr. Pellegrini.
Thank you, operator. Well, welcome, everybody. We have had certainly some volatility over the last few months. I'm sure that everybody's been focused on what's been happening, I guess, over the last month is most notable. But before we get into talking about some of those things, I know sometimes with these conference calls, we tend to focus just on what's going on with markets and financial assets and things like that. And I do want to kind of bring everybody back to the whole concept that we do need to focus on the overall game plan. And I think that's why we titled our conference this morning as Take a Deep Breath. We recognize that there has been volatility in the markets. We also recognize that when we've got these wild swings, that it tends to fray some nerves and people get a little uptight and upset and things like that. And I think the other thing that we do want to comment on is, if you really think about it, the media does spend a lot more time and focus on negative things and when the markets are moving down, and they don't spend as much time when the market is moving up. So most people that we've been talking to over the course of the last several weeks have been feeling like the everything's collapsing, the world's coming to an end, when in fact that isn't the case. The markets have had many, many strong up days and things like that that have really made it not as negative or as bad as the media has made it out to be. The other thing that I think we need to focus on is that nobody knows what tomorrow holds. So when you do see down days or a couple of them in a row, just remember that the next day you wake up, markets could just as easily shoot back up as go down. And despite what everybody would like to believe is that we can figure out when things are going to go down or when things are going to go up and time ourselves into it, we know that just isn't the case. So what we want to do is we want to make sure that we are focusing on our needs, that we're focusing on what our overall objectives are, what we need these assets to do, and to build a solid plan. And for many of you, if you think about it, that's why when we actually get together for our reviews, we spend much more time talking about you and your family and trying to make sure that we are plugged into and understand, what your overall picture is and what your world looks like, so that we can ensure that the financial assets that you do have are tailored to accomplish that objective. So having said that, let's talk about the past few months. In short, when we look at the fourth quarter of 2015, we talk about financial markets, specifically with respect to bonds and stocks. Bonds actually fared reasonably well. They're not a high return asset. They are a stability asset when we look at the overall portfolio. So they did their job through the fourth quarter of 2015, and stocks actually did really quite well. I know we had some volatility in the summer, specifically in August, but then the fourth quarter of 2015 was actually a recovery quarter, so things fared pretty well through the fourth quarter. Of course, what's on everybody's mind is what's happened since the new year. January was a bit of a rough month, but we'll see how things unfold going forward. So the fourth quarter, as I say, actually looked like it was pretty well. Oil, I guess for most of the people that we work with, we're in Alberta and Saskatchewan, and the reality is that we all know where oil went over the course of the last number of months. We look at for the last year and a half or more, it's been heading down. We did get a bit of a reprieve during 2015, the first part of 2015. We saw some bounce back up, and I think a lot of people were thinking and hoping that that was sort of the end of it, and we were going to work our way back up. Well, the reality was that through the fourth quarter, pretty much the last 5 months or so, oil has been on a kind of on a steady decline. And again, trying to figure out where it goes from here, it's a tough call. Along with oil, of course, has been the Canadian dollar, which these are probably the two biggest coffee shop conversations right now would be the price of oil and the state of the Canadian dollar. And as you may or may not know, clearly these two things are very much connected. And that is, despite what the powers that be would like us to believe, when we listen to particularly our federal political people and our even our Bank of Canada governor, they really try to make it like the two aren't connected. They clearly are, and as long as oil is down, we can expect that the Canadian dollar is going to stay low as well. Looking at geographically, the U.S. really is the shining light in the world. They're growing. They're not racing forward, but their economy is growing. And that's why when you look at the Federal Reserve has been talking about their interest rate raises. They did bump them a little bit in December. They have made it known that they are expecting to continue to sort of bump them forward through the course of 2016. They are going to, they're going to temper that with looking at what's happening economically to decide if they continue with that or not. But right now it does look like they are on a path to slowly increase their interest rate. And I guess on the flip side of that, you look at what the Bank of Canada has done through 2015, that we had dropped the interest rate a couple of times. So I guess when you look at the Canadian dollar and oil taking our economic activity down, on top of that, you've got with the Federal Reserve looking at them being on an increasing path, and the Canadian federal or our Bank of Canada looking at a decreasing path for interest rates. Well, that's just adding pressure to the Canadian dollar. It's unfortunate for anybody that's trying to travel, but that is what we're dealing with, and it sort of throws us back to the late 90s and the early 2000s when we had a very low dollar. Hopefully we're not headed down that low, but predicting currencies is just too difficult. There's just so many moving parts, like I say, I think the biggest thing for us is what's happening with oil. When we look at Europe is still struggling to find some growth. They are kind of keeping their nose right at water level, don't seem to be able to make some headway. They appear to be where the U.S. was a few years ago, and that's why for any of you that do follow some of the European news, the European Central Bank is looking at that kind of that money printing process that the U.S. was doing a number of years ago. Three, 4 years ago, it was called quantitative easing, and they were pumping a bunch of money into the system. Well, the ECB is sort of in that mode right now, and they are pumping money into the system. And of course, the words that they're putting out there are that they are going to continue to pump money into the system and do what they need to until they get some growth percolating in the European economies. So we expect that at some point that is going to start getting some traction, and we will start to see some growth coming out of Europe. With respect to China, a big part of the story over the last number of years, and I believe that China is going to be a big part of the story going forward. Right now, they are certainly a part of our volatility story, and that is because China, their growth, their economy, their growth is actually quite strong compared to Western economies. But In the past, their growth has been even stronger. While they were focused on exports and infrastructure spending and things like that, they were a big engine in the global economy. Well, now, once you sort of reach the culmination of that, what they're trying to do is they're trying to convert their economy into more of a consumption oriented economy, which is a natural progression. That's what needs to happen. But when you think about that, it is there's a lot of people over there. You got 1.2 billion people that have really not been consumers in terms of a global marketplace. So while they're in this transition phase, their growth rate has come down a little bit, and of course there's lots of concern around the world that they're not going to be the engine for the global economy. And that may be for a short period of time, but if you think about it, you take 1.2 billion people and turn them into consumers, and I believe that somewhere along the line that is going to have a huge impact on the global economy. And so, I think that long-term we look at that, and there's certainly some positives with respect to China making that change. Now, when you think about what's happening with their stock market, well, that's a completely different story. Their stock market has had wild gyrations. It has over the last number of years has skyrocketed upward, and then through 2015, it had a couple of bouts where it took some pretty big hits downward, and so that has translated to some of the traders involved in global markets or North American markets feeling that may somehow have an impact on our North American markets. I just can't see that. Other than the short term gyrations, I can't see that having a big impact. We got to remember that the Chinese stock markets are just not the same as North American stock markets, and they are, really they have more of a look of a gambling venue than of an investment marketplace. So, I look at what happens with Chinese markets I take it with a grain of salt, and don't really see that as having a major impact on what's happening with respect to North America and global markets. Looking at Canada, again, our story is oil. The powers that be want really to talk about manufacturing. They want to talk about the engines that drive kind of Eastern Canada. And I guess I look at that and I say, let's face it, the manufacturing sector in Canada has really only succeeded at times when the Canadian dollar is really low. And I think that for us to think that we're going to base our entire economy on having a really low currency, I just don't see that as being long-term sustainable. So, if we go from there, we accept the fact that oil and resources are a big part of where Canada's at. And unfortunately, those are subject to world markets. We're a pretty small player in that picture. And so we are what they call a price taker, which means that whatever is going on in the world and that sets the price for the things that we produce, then we sort of live and die by that marketplace. And I know that politicians and the public want to try and figure out how there's got to be something somebody here in Canada can do about it. I just don't believe that there is. I think that we basically have to cross our fingers and hope that some of the bigger players in those markets get their act together and allow the markets to go to true prices as opposed to manipulated prices, where right now I think we're certainly in a position where prices have been driven down for various reasons by different players, and we're getting caught in the crossfire. So hopefully that gets sorted out, and we can at least get to you know, bounce back to, you know, we may not get to that from an oil standpoint. We may not get to that $100 or $110 for some time, but hopefully we can get to a point where it is profitable and economic activity in that sector can resume. Our expectations going forward, I guess we're looking at expectations are modest for the year. We expect that the U.S. is going to continue on their path. We're hopeful that Europe will kick into gear and see the fruits of some of the quantitative easing that the European Central Bank is doing. We believe that China is actually just going to continue to move forward with their plan of converting their economy to consumption. I don't see any big changes there in 2016. I think, as many of you know when we talk, I'm a believer that the Chinese economy and what's happening over there will eventually have a huge impact, positive impact, on the global economy. Oil, I expect, I don't think that the world battle over oil production is over yet. I think with this Iran deal, you're going to have Iranian oil come back onto the marketplace, so that's going to increase supply again. So I guess our expectations for 2016 with respect to oil is that we're going to see some more volatility, and I'm not 100% certain that we've seen the bottom of that market yet. And I know we don't like to hear that, but it wouldn't surprise me for us to see another dip down. So, okay, that is our overall review of what's been happening and our views going forward. But again, I want to stress for everybody because you listen and you hear me less than you do the TV or the newspaper, and I know what they're focused on. So I urge everybody to, again, take a deep breath. Focus on your world and what you need to have happen, and not everybody else's. And if we do need to sit down and review what's going on in your world and make sure that the assets that you have are geared in that direction, then we do that during your reviews. But if you feel you need to talk about it prior to review or at any other time in the year, by all means, give us a shout, either myself or Ryan, and we'll sit down and review what's going on and just make sure that we've got a handle on what you need to have happen and that you're comfortable with the overall picture. So I encourage you to call us. And finally, just before I end here, I do want to welcome Parker Pellegrini to our team. Parker is joining us. He's a professional engineer and has all of his education done for his chartered financial analyst. He's a smart guy, and we're looking forward to having him involved with our overall business. So if you hear from Parker, well, please welcome him as well. And with that, I am going to wrap up. Thank you once again for joining us this morning, and hope everybody has a great day. Bye for now.